And a lot of folks have been asking, since last Sunday, haven't heard much about the prayer time in Washington. It's a little like birthing a baby almost. It's like, is it now? Not now. I've been working to get a website up, and as soon as that's up, and cross my fingers, tomorrow, Tuesday probably, it will be up, and we'll send it out. And then what you can do is send it out to everybody you know, people you don't know, to make them wonder who you are. Get it out as much as we can. It's already been pretty cool. I had an interesting conversation with somebody from the Florida Baptist Convention, and they're going to be meeting about it tomorrow. You know, had a lady from Arizona message me to say she's already made her reservations and she's going. Okay, cool. You know, so it's just kind of, you know, when it's the will of God, stuff happens, right? So if you weren't here last week and you're going, what is he talking about? The Lord just laid on my heart a week ago Thursday that we need to go and pray. We need to go to Washington and pray. And then somebody else said, well, God laid it on my heart to go to Tallahassee because Tallahassee needs prayer. Amen? And so we can ask people to go to Washington and join hands and circle the Capitol, or we can have people go to Tallahassee or Baton Rouge or Montgomery or Columbia or Atlanta or anywhere else all over the country, go to their state capital and join hands and pray. Or thirdly then, somebody said, well, I can't go to Washington. I'm not going to Tallahassee, but I do want to pray. Can we open up the church on March 31st from 12 to 1 and pray? Absolutely. 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 One of my favorite stories on prayer was from a young lady I was in seminary with. She went as a summer missionary to the mountains of western New Jersey, and she was working at a little ministry there in this little town. Excuse me. It was, kind of working with the homeless, the hungry, a lot like what First Baptist Apopka began. And by the way, that's part of the deal on Tuesday night, so stay tuned for that. Hold on, need more coffee. And so she was surprised when she showed up on her first day, and as they were getting ready to serve lunch, 10 Catholic nuns came in and went to work. And so she asked the person running the ministry, who was, I think, Baptist, American Baptist, and she said, where did they come from? And he said, well, on top of the mountain, outside of town, is a convent, and 10 of them come down every day to help. And she's like, okay, all right, well. So she gets to talking to one, and she finds out that there are 100 nuns on the top of the mountain in the convent. So one afternoon, she had some time, and she was a little curious, so she goes up to the top of the mountain, and she knocks on the door, and she explains who she is, and she gets a meeting with the Mother Superior, the nun who runs the convent. And she said, in perfect Baptist fashion, I don't understand. You've got 100 nuns up here who are all amazing workers. Why do you only send 10 every day? Why not send 100 every day? And the wonderful older lady looked at her and said, my dear, are you impressed indeed with all that the 10 accomplished? And she said, yeah. And she said, they accomplish what they accomplish because of the 90 who stay back to pray for them every day. The power of prayer. It empowers us not only as we pray, but as others pray for us. And it's amazing how hearts can change. Particularly, read your Old Testament. You know, time and time again, when Israel was in bondage, when Israel was in captivity in Egypt or Babylon, under the Babylonians, the Egyptians, or later the Persians, prayer changes nations. And that's what we believe God wants to do for this nation today. So, as we go forward, as we gather together to pray, here, Tallahassee, Washington, we need to be sure we got it in our own mind right. Last week we began with the question of who is God? Who really is this God in whom our coins say we trust? Because on the whole, America doesn't know anymore. Read your news. Watch your news on your videos and so forth. And so last week we began with what we teach every three-year-old here at Sweetwater. God is love. Today, God is good. That's why I love the song that we did just a few moments ago. God is good. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Chapter 18, verses 18 through 19. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, there's a good American question, isn't it? What do I got to do? And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Let's pray. Lord, you are good. You alone are good. And Father, as we get to know you more, better, deeper, we will begin to understand your goodness. And our prayer is, Father, the closer we get to you, the more we know you, the more we are in you and you are in us, we will begin to start letting your goodness out of our own lives. Just letting your goodness ooze out of us with whomever we may be anywhere near. So, Lord, be with us. Give us your Spirit, so that we will know and we will understand and begin to be affected and infected by your goodness. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen. In the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman he met at the well, which you can find in John chapter 4, Jesus asked the woman for a drink there at the well. She's thirsty, been traveling. But she sort of snubs him, which is interesting, you know. The very idea, she's thinking, that a Jewish man would ask her, a Samaritan woman, anything, that he would even speak to her. But the Lord replied to her in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me for living water, and he would have given it to you." If you knew the gift of God and who it was who asked you, it'd be a game changer. It would be a game changer if you knew the gift of God and who it was who asked you. Then your life would be so much better, stronger, richer, deeper than you've ever imagined. if you only truly knew. We live in a world that does not know Jesus. A world that does not know our Father in heaven. He is the only answer left to a world that seems absolutely determined to tear itself apart. But, asked Paul in Romans 10:14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear if no one tells them or shows them who God is? If they've got no experience with the love of God, if they've got no experience with the goodness of God, how will they ever find the answers that they're looking for? Well, brothers and sisters, it's real simple. It's up to us. It's up to us. It has always been up to us. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus gave us that task. So, in your own lifetime, not just you personally, but Christians in general, what kind of grade would you give us? Ooh. Looking around the country today, how are we doing in our task of helping people find God through Jesus Christ? Pop quiz. Anybody know the year that Southern Baptists baptized the largest number of people? 1972. 1972. That was the year we baptized the largest number of people. We were a smaller body of believers in those days. We were poorer in those days. But in 1972, we reached more people for Christ than we have ever since. We didn't have all this. I would suggest that this country is in the mess it's in today, largely because we as a nation have been pushing God out of our public life for roughly 60 years, and the church, for the most part, at least over the last 40-something years, has just gone, okay, and crawled inside our walls, and just let the world go to Satan. Brothers and sisters, every time you turn on the TV and you see all of the violence from the West Coast to the East Coast and every place in between, we are at a crossroads as a people. We simply must show the world who God is, but we better be sure we know. Before we go to Washington to pray or to Tallahassee to pray on the 31st of March or anywhere we are putting our faith forward, we need to be sure we know who is this God we are representing. So when people ask, we cannot just have an answer. Well, that's a good question. Come over here, let me ask my preacher. We, all of us, have the right answer. Last week, we began with the key point that God is love. We pointed out, number one, that love is from God. It is not that we love God, but that He first loved us. Secondly, God's love in us changes us and empowers us. And thirdly, that God's love enables us to be able to love one another, even the stranger, even our enemies, even those. And think about this. God's love empowers us to love even those who have willfully wronged us. God's love is so great that it empowers you to love those who vote differently than you. It's true. God's love is so great that it empowers you to love yourself. Today, I want to take a few minutes to look at another quality of God, His goodness. God is good. So in the passage that we looked at in Luke 18 and 19, good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says back to the ruler, why do you call me good? Only God is good. God alone is good. This is why you and I need to be very careful in assigning labels to people as to whether or not they are good or bad. Our own standards of good or bad are flawed. We forget that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the goodness of God, the power of God. The person we may call a good person is still a sinner in need of Christ. Remember that Germany, before World War II, even under the Nazis, had the highest percentage of church-going people than any other Western country, including America. More people went to Germany under Hitler, went to church, than people did in the United States. Rwanda, in the early 1990s, saw a genocide of 1 million people in 100 days, most of that by hand. Yet before that, Rwanda led the world in the number of people in its country who went to church. Almost 98% of everybody in the country went to church in Rwanda prior to the mass slaughter, where they killed each other wholesale for 100 days. What does that tell you? Going to church does not make us good. Only by having the Spirit of God in us, cleansing us, changing us, perfecting us, can we ever even know of God's goodness. What does His Word tell us? Well, first, we see that out of His goodness, God provides. In Exodus chapter 16, beginning with verse 1 through the start of verse 4, Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and it says they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Sons of Israel said to them, would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. So they set out from Egypt. They had only been on the journey for 6 weeks, but because they didn't pack enough food for the whole journey, this is God's fault. Sound familiar? Because they didn't plan well enough, because he says we had more than enough to eat, because they didn't plan well enough, pack well enough, it's God's fault, and it's the fault of Moses and his brother Aaron. Let the whining begin. And where are they? What's it say? They are in the wilderness of Sin. How remarkably appropriate. The people following Moses, the Jews, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, We're constantly sinful, rebellious, and whiny. Are we there yet? How much further? I'm hungry. She touched me. Have you heard any of this ever before? And yet, God is good. He provides. Were they worthy? No. God's thinking, letting them starve in the desert may not be a bad idea. No. Despite how unworthy they were, for all of their sinfulness and rebelliousness and whining, out of his goodness, God provided. Meat would be provided for them in the evenings and bread from heaven in the mornings. And this was not just some tasteless unleavened bread. Have you ever really tried unleavened bread? Think about the little wafers we normally use for communion. Wouldn't you love to make a sandwich of those things every day? In Exodus, later in the chapter, in Exodus 16, verse 31, it says of this bread that came out of heaven, the house of Israel named it manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Brothers and sisters, God delivered Krispy Kreme every morning. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:45 that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is good. And out of that goodness, he provides. He knows your needs. And not only does he meet your need, not just with bread, but with Krispy Kreme, he gives you better than what you need. So we cry out to God. We cry out thinking we know what we need because we're so smart. I know just what I need and I want it now. We cry out of our pain. We cry out of our sinfulness because most of the time if we are in trouble, it's due to sinfulness somewhere, ours or somebody else's. And because God is good, he answers. One chapter over in Exodus 17, verses 1 through 6 tell us, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? And why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us, our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, what shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. What is it about us that we seemingly learn nothing? On Tuesday, we're in need. And we cry out to God, God, you know my need. I didn't pack enough. I didn't prepare well enough. And now I'm in trouble. Why would you let me down, God? Why would you let me get in this situation? my God, why have you forsaken me? And because God is good, he answers and he provides. And all of our problems on Tuesday are solved. And we go to bed that night thanking God. But then on Wednesday, we find ourselves in trouble again. And we cry out again. And we cry out having forgotten everything that happened on Tuesday, just the day before. And if God answered us on Tuesday, why do we not think he will fail us? Why do we think he will fail us? Why do we not think that he will answer us on Wednesday? If God gives us bread from heaven every morning and meat every night, despite our poor planning, despite our rebelliousness and sinfulness, when we have another crisis, when we're thirsty, why do we not think that even in the desert, he will find a way? Turn over to Psalms. Psalm 118. Verses 5 through 21. God answers. God provides. And brothers and sisters, praise be to him. God never stops. We're going to read all of Psalm 100. It's only 5 verses. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His kingdom, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100. Turn over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verses 5 through 21. Verse 5 says, "From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place, a strong place." And verse 21 says, "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place, a strong place. And I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me. And you have become my salvation." Maybe the best thing about God is that he never stops. You know, if all of a sudden you find yourself in need of a lawyer, you need to call during regular business hours. If you need pizza, be sure that you call one that actually delivers in your area. But God, A, God never stops. B, he doesn't have set work hours where he works and then he doesn't work. He's always at work. And C, wherever you are in God's delivery zone. And that's good news. I have known people who have called out to God from prison, from hospital ICUs and from the deepest, darkest corners of the valley of the shadow. And our Father hears, He answers, and He provides. It may not be what you were expecting. Often that's the case. We are not good. We are not good. We are sinful people in need of a Savior. We not only do not know the mind of God, but if we're honest, we really don't know our own mind. Usually, if we got what we wanted, it would be a disaster. It would be the worst thing ever. C.S. Lewis says that hell is where you have to have everything you want. If we got what we wanted, it would be the worst thing ever. How blessed is the one who waits upon the Lord for His good gifts. Oh, my friends, how great is our God. How great is our God. So let us shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. Let us come before Him with joyful singing. Knowing that the Lord Himself is God, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And so let us enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Let us give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. And all God's people said, Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your goodness. Father, what the world needs now is Your love. What the world needs to see is Your goodness, Your life-changing, nation-altering goodness, pouring out of our churches and into the streets, pouring out of our churches and into the lives, the communities, the neighborhoods of those whom we are near. We don't have to go far. We just need to go across the street. We just need to go next door. We just need to stop in the office next to us or the business right there. We just need to be able to show Your goodness so that as people have need, we are the instrument by which You answer. As people are hurting, we are the ointment that You use to heal their wounds. And as a nation is broken, we are the splint that binds it back together, holds it tightly, so that through Your power, Your love, Your goodness, a nation can heal. So Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You. Thank You. In Christ's name, Amen.